Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. As you look in your Bible, in Mark chapter 11, just to follow the sermon, may I bring to your attention two news. One is in our church bulletin, there is an insert. Not only you have the beautiful advertising that you pass it away to someone for our coming Sunday, where the choir is going to bring your attention to the cross, and the pastor is going to bring your attention to that Jesus of the cross. But also it is the church bulletin, inside the church bulletin, the outline of the sermon, and between parentheses, there are numbers there which indicate the Bible that is on the pew. The King James Bible, pastor will preach from now on from this Bible, and it will be right there for you. Also, this evening, pastor will start his end of life. I thought to myself, what would I leave to my granddaughters? And I look in my library, I wrote about 12 books, and 3 in Greek, and 1 in Hebrew. And I said, I want to write one more. And I want to leave these to my 3 granddaughters. And I have for months put in 10, 12, 15 hours a week to understand the book of Revelation so that I can understand America. And perhaps I will never would understand the time in which I'm in, but I will understand what's going on. So tonight will be 5 pages to you in the introduction to Revelation. This is what Revelation is all about. I have done this before in the church, but this is unique. This is never done before, and it's coming to you in a book format because this is what the company requested. So they allow me to pass the outline so that you can have it, and we will review it together. And it's going to be done in a chat format. I will finish the lecture on the, and then we will talk to each other. So that we can, like a Sunday school class supposed to be, don't we? So where we talk to each other, and so you want to tell me if you, I want to know if you understand the same thing that I understand. Of course, by this time you have read the book of Revelation, I hope. It is my 185 times that I read it so that I can penetrate my head. It's all over my head. And it's so fantastic. And I have mistaken many things before. And now they came clear. I'm just so excited. I told my wife, she said, I remind you, this is not in a school. This is not the university you taught. This is the church. Yeah, well, all right. But in the evening, it's in a school, don't it? All right. And so if you can, you will listen. Otherwise, we'll be on the internet. It will be on the archive. I hope that right, Chief? I'll be in the archive. And then the outlines will be given to you. They will be right there on the internet, so we don't have to print it for you. Now we come to this Sunday, Palm Sunday. It is Mark chapter 11. You don't have to look over there, but in Isaiah chapter 62, and in verse 11, the Bible said, indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, the church, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. That's in Isaiah. Then in Zechariah, in chapter 9, and in verse 9, the prophet said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, scream, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He's just having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and a foal and a donkey. Now, in fulfillment of these prophecies, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's what our brother read for us today. The crowds line up in the streets shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so you know this Sunday through the church history as Palm Sunday. They demanded that Jesus silence the crowd, remember? But he responded that even if the crowd were silent, the stones will cry out. This is the event we call across the line and across the world, Palm Sunday. This is what we celebrate today here at Bethel Baptist Church at Morton Hill, California, 95.45 degrees on the meridian. So you can find us. This is what the whole Christian church celebrate across the world. The event of the next week would forever change the world when Jesus resurrected. I know the unbelievers don't want to believe this, but the resurrection of Jesus changed the entire world. Jesus entered Jerusalem and the crowd welcomed him not as a baby, but as a king. By the end of the week, they were asking, crucify him. But to this Sunday, they were saying, here is the king. His followers abandoned him when the crowd left. They have all expected Jesus to be an earthly king, to be a master king, to be a Roman Empire. That's where the Jewish people think of Jesus. That's what many people think of Jesus. Would be good if he is good. Why he is not the ruler of the world? Well, my friend, I have news for you. He is. Nothing happened in this world unless Jesus allowed. But I want you to look in Mark chapter 11. And I want to look carefully to one word. That's what I want to preach. That's the time I have this morning. One word. Right there, verse 9. And right there in verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. And they went before, and they follow, cry, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then verse 10, blessed be the kingdom of the Father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now, Hosanna is not an English word. All the people around the world, even the Spanish people, what they have done is called a transcription of the word. They took the Hebrew word H and they put an H. And Spanish is mute, so we pronounce it Osana rather than the Hosanna. Then they took the yacht and the dot. And they put an O. And then the sat and they put an S. And then the up and they put an I. And so they try to copy the letters of the Hebrew alphabet into the English alphabet and come out with the word Hosanna. So the word itself had no meaning to you. What does that mean? Hosanna. So let's find out what that means. All right? Let's find out what that Hebrew word Hosanna really means. Let's talk about the biblical usage of the word Hosanna. It occurs in the New Testament only 6 times. So it's not going to be hard. 6 times. Twice is used alone. Twice followed by the phrase Son of David. And twice followed by the word in the highest. Let's find out where they are. Hosanna. Twice is used by itself. Mark 11 and verse 9. And they that went before and they that follow cry saying, Hosanna, blessed. And they, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, look with me, move from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 13. You have Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 13. There, page 1166, if you are using the Bible that is here in the pew. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh. John Gospel, chapter 12, verse 13. Took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And cry, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Here, John only talk about palm trees. Other talks about other kinds of trees, but palm trees. And they say, Hosanna. So the word is used alone. There were Hebrew people there, so the Hebrew people understood what that word really means. Now, twice, the word Hosanna was used by the phrase Son of David. Let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21 and verse 9. So you're in John. If you go to the left, you get back to Luke, back to Mark, back to Matthew. All right, first Gospel. Chapter 21 and verse 9. And the multitude that went before and that follow cry, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Verse 9. Now go to verse 15. Same gospel, same chapter. Go to verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So only twice the scripture used the word Hosanna alone. Only twice used the word Hosanna connected to the word Son of David. Now remember, in Hebrew, the name implies the character of the person. And David was a king. And so when you say Hosanna, Son of David, you say Hosanna to the Son of the King, who is king because he is the Son of the King. Twice. Followed by the words in the highest. Go back to the Gospel of Mark, where we start reading in chapter 11. And look in verse 10. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, when the Hebrew speak in that way, the highest, doesn't talk about to the authorities of the Sanhedrin, the highest is heaven. So Hosanna in the heavens, Hosanna in the highest. And then our Matthew 21 and verse 9, you don't have to turn there, I had just read it. And the multitude that went before and followed cry, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And verse 9 in Matthew 21 ends, Hosanna in the highest. So here is an observation as a grammarian. Here's an observation. The word Hosanna occurs in all cases in the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The Hebrew do not use the word Hosanna for anything else in the entire life of the Hebrew people. They use the word Hosanna only to qualify the Lord Jesus in the entrance to Jerusalem as a victor. Pay attention to it. Isn't that amazing? That is speak of something. So now I really want to know what that means. So the biblical meaning of the word Hosanna. You have to go to Psalm 118 and verse 25, page 703. Psalm 118 18, verse 25, and as I said, the page is 703. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. You see the beginning word, save now? That is the root. That is the root word in Hebrew, yazana. That is the root of the word hosanna. And yazana means save me, I pray. Save me is in plural. We pray. Save me, we pray. And so the psalmist writes, save now, I beseech thee. Yazana. And the word is written in a format is first person plural. Now it's saying, we need salvation. Hosanna. Pray, save us. That's the biblical meaning of the word Hosanna, done by the Bible, described by the Bible. You even don't need a dictionary. The Bible just show you the translation. Now, what I'm interested on is the application of the word Hosanna. To whom was this word applied? Well, if you are in Psalm 118, look in verse 26 now. To whom was the word, Hosanna, save me now, apply? Verse 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So the house of the Lord, the house of Jehovah, is saying Hosanna, which covered the Old Testament and the New Testament. The house of the Lord. See, the house of the Lord, you will learn that in Revelation, covers three kinds of people. Israel, the church, and the multitude of people that will be saved. That's the house of the Lord. That is the house of the Lord. And so, to whom was it applied? It was applied to the people of God. The people of God, when they see Jesus, they can say, Hosanna! Say it now. Now, who is he? You see that word 20 in verse 26? Blessed be he. Now, I ask myself, who is he? Psalm 118, verse 22 tells you. The stone which the builders refuse is become the heavy stone of the corner. He is the stone. And you say, Pastor, are the Jewish people saying to a stone, save us now? Well, who the stone represent? Go with me to the book of Acts in chapter 4. Now we switch from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11, page 1184. Now remember, the psalm said, Hosanna, blessed is he, and then he always in Psalm 118 is the stone. Are we worshiping in a stone? No. Look at this, Acts 4 verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught. See, Peter is trying to explain the miracle that happened, and he said the miracle was done by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the stone, he said in verse 11. Do you see it? The antecedent grammatical ending linked the two words together. And so the Bible is saying, to whom the word Hosanna applies to he, and who is he? It's Jesus Christ. No other scripture applies the word Hosanna is applied to. It's only applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can say that. What's the implication of that usage? And the implication is this, the word Hosanna is an acclamation. And the acclamation in the Jewish synagogue will be, save us now, O Messiah. Save us now, O the Lord Jesus Christ. See, until then, the Jewish people had to go to the temple and bring a lamb, and then the lamb was slain. They had to put the hand on the top of the lamb. The priest will cut the head of the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and sprinkle on the people. And as they identify with the lamb by their hand, and the blood of the lamb was upon them, was signifying that in the future, the Messiah will be a lamb, and the Messiah will spread his blood and save them. And now, amazing enough, through all these centuries, 6,000 years of Jewish century, now they see in Jesus the Messiah. And so they qualify that word, said, that's the lamb. That's the one who is going to go into the cross. That's the one who is going to spread his blood. And him we have salvation. And so, save us now, O Lord. Oh, salvation came from the highest. Salvation came from the kingdom of David. So that makes the whole thing very, very narrow. Salvation is not in any other person in the world except in the Jewish people. No wonder the women in Samaria in John chapter 4 said, I know the salvation is of the Jew. That is the only one that provides the Messiah. And so that word Hosanna is not an English word. It is not even a Hebrew word to use as a random. It's a word to use only with the Messiah. And amazing enough, history tells us that when the people of Israel saw Jesus, they said, Hosanna. Hosanna. So now comes the interpretation. If you go back to Mark chapter 11 in verse 10, you can find the first interpretation. In verse 10 of the Gospel of Mark said, Hosanna in the highest. Salvation from above. Salvation from above. Most of you who are Christian remember by memory John chapter 3 verses 1 to 10, the story of Nicodemus. In the English said, Jesus answered to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. Actually, the original word said, you must be born from above. Ladies and gentlemen, the salvation of our soul is not in the hands of the church, whatever that church is. Roman Catholic Church, Protestant Church. It is not. The salvation of your soul is from above. God only can save. Well, somebody said, I share this. I test my sermons with some Mexican people. And I told them, what do you think if I tell you that the healing of your soul comes only from Israel? He said, oh, that is discriminating. It is, no? God has selected these Chaldeans, because they were Chaldeans from Babylon. And God changed their heart and changed their name. Remember Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. But he was a Chaldean, just like Ramil, like Ramsey. And God picked them up. They were nobody, they were business people. Remember Abraham, oh, I wish to have Abraham as my uncle. He's really good. Lot has him as his uncle, and he thanked God for that. But you know, God took Abraham, gave Isaac, and gave Jacob. And on Jacob, he changed his name. Even Ramil preached on this. He changed his name, and his name now becomes Israel, sons of the king. Wow. This is what God does. He takes you and he takes me just as we are, and he changes us to be sons of the living God. We learned the lesson in Sunday school today that those people put their hands on Jesus and they were healed. And if you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you will be healed in your soul. You will understand the scripture and you will be love of God and you will love God to the end of your life. Hosanna in the highest. So those who believe in Christ can say, Hosanna in the highest. Yes. Some people say, well, you know, he was a Jew. I don't care who he was. He is the one the Bible said. He's the one to qualify from the heavens to be my Savior. I hold to him by faith. I told my Sunday school class today in Spanish, I wish I was in the time of Jesus just to see his face. Why these people came to him with no doubt whatsoever. What his personality was. How did he behave? What was the splendor of his presence that draw them to them? I wonder. Hosanna in the highest. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one prophet anywhere, with no offense to anybody, there is no one prophet anywhere, there is no one priest anywhere, there is no one pastor anywhere that can save you. Hosanna in the highest, they have to come from heaven, and Jesus came from heaven. That is the only one. Secondly, in Matthew 21:9, remember, we read Hosanna, son of David. And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the son of David. You know what David is? That's the king of Israel. That's a long time ago. All right? That's a long time ago from the year zero, from the year that Jesus was on earth. Long time before. And people identify Jesus with David. Why? Well, you need to go back to the Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 13, page 377. 2 Samuel is way back in the Bible. After Joshua, you start rolling and you get to 2 Samuel. In chapter 7 and verse 13, there was a prophecy to David. And the people at that time, they thought the prophecy was to be fulfilled in the life of Solomon. But it was not. Look at the details. Verse 13. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for forever. So cannot be Solomon. All right? Solomon died and his kingdom was taken. So he said, I will give you a son, said to David. I will give you a son. And that son will establish the house of God forever. Nobody can move it. It's going to be immovable. It's going to be the house of God forever to David. That's why they said to Jesus, son of David. Now, if you go to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, you find the answer. Right there in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 1, page 1035, right there you find the answer. When God is going to print the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus, look what he does. He gives us his descendants. And in Matthew 1:1, we read the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see the line? The son of David. So, physically was the son of David, but also, being the son of David, he received the kingship from God. Remember how kings are passed. The father, the son, the grandson, that's how kings are passed. They don't have election like the United States and all these things that we do. No, they don't, the Bible don't acknowledge that. They acknowledge a man of God leading his country with a strong hand of God. That's the only acknowledgement of the Bible. No offense to America, but this democracy business is just another way of Satan trying to get into the country. And we see it today. But I tell you, this is fantastic. The son of David means that God promised Israel, the nation of Israel, a king, and Israel got it. Jesus and Israel rejected. Because they were looking for a physical gain. They were looking for somebody to rule the earth rather than ruling from heaven. Now, what is the interpretation of the word Hosanna? Praise is requested as being ascribed to Jesus, who is the Son of David. In other words, praise and request is being ascribed to Jesus, who is the Son of David. In other words, Hosanna means Jesus has fulfilled the entire promises to Israel. There is no other person that we can look for in the future to be the King and the glory of God and the Savior from God. He is Hosanna, and there is no more use of the word Hosanna. That proved to you grammatically that God finished with Jesus. That's why Satan is so upset of Jesus, because he knows. Now, you say, Pastor, that's good. That's great theology. But what that means to me? How all of these refer to me? Well, number one, if you are a Jew person, let me tell you this. Every Jewish messianic expectation has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Don't look for any other person in which the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament can be fulfilled. Period. It's just, you are Jewish by blood. You should be proud of it. And you should be looking to Jesus as the splendor and the glory of God in Israel. There is no other messianic man that will come in. Hosanna is no longer in use. Only was used for Jesus. Secondly, every Gentile aspiration to God's kingdom has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. So you can shout, exclaim with great voice like the disciples did. Save us or we perish. Remember in Matthew 8:25, they were in a boat. They were crossing just the lake of Galilee called the Sea of Galilee because it was big. There was a lake. The waves were a little high. That's we, humanity. When we get a little trouble, we say, what happened? I lost my job. What happened? Oh, I got sickness. Oh, what happened? You know, we get a little uneasy, all right? And then we say, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And one Peter exclaimed in Matthew 8:25, Lord, save us or we perish. The waves were very high and they were in a wood boat, you know, and you and I will do the same thing. But they exclaimed the right words. They say to Jesus, save us or we perish. And you should exclaim from the deepest of your heart in to Jesus, save me, save my soul or I perish forever in hell. That should be said in your heart. Lord, save me, because there is no, the church cannot save you. Pastor Otero cannot save you. The priest here in town in the Catholic Church cannot save you. The Pope in Rome cannot save you, but he can. And so Hosanna, even though it's a Jewish word, with all respect to the Jews, I will say it's my word too. And it's your word too, if you are a savior. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. What that mean? This is not going to help you to be saved. This you do because you are saved. You want to remember the day that Christ went to the cross. You want to remember the day that he shed his blood. You want to remember the day that he rose again. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So that's what we do, the Lord's Supper. We remember. Because he said, do this until I come. So what do? We say, God, save us I'm glad he did to me. I'm glad. I'm glad that one day I saw the need. My parents told me 150,000 times that you are young and you go to church and you try to be a good boy, but 12, 13, you go in your own way. And at that time, my father was an unbeliever and said to my mother, let a boy be a man, let him take his decisions. How bad was that? I did nothing wrong to it, but I don't went to church. I went to play soccer. I had no idea of God, even though I grew in the church. I had no idea how to believe. I saw people in church walking forward. I saw people doing things. I don't know what that means. Until one day I said, I love to read. I'm going to read. And I start remembering what Grandma read for me. Those 7, 8 years of reading of Grandma was not in vain. And I remember that. And I remember the other. And then I said, oh, that's what Grandma said. Oh, this said. Until one day I said, it's me. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. It's not my uncle who was the pastor of the church. No. It was Jesus. Can you say with deep conviction in your heart, Hosanna to the Son of David? If not, today is the day that you can say, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to find out if he is really what he said he is. May God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It is so good to read the Bible. It is good because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Father, I was like anybody else, an unbeliever, going to church, trying to be a good boy, but empty inside because I had no idea of Jesus. Till the day that I can say Hosanna in the highest. Lord, bless the people that they may understand and say, I need a Savior. I need my life to change all around. I need Jesus forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Mountain, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So shine your light and seeing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Yes, Savior, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.